Log Talk Radio.
Hotter Sunday. Here's the box.
Thank you.
to heaven.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's Led Zeppelin, considered the greatest rock song of all time. Won't get much argument from me. That's Stairway to Heaven Live. Welcome back, my friends, to the show where I pretend to be somebody I'm not. Welcome to the show. Tonight, I am privileged to stand here and say this is the final Led Zeppelin tribute. We did Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, and Robert Plant, and I'm proud to say we were going to do John Bonham tonight, probably the greatest, the GOAT, greatest of all time drummer. He was the driving force behind all the music. The more you learn about him, what he was doing, the more impressed I was. I knew he was good, but every time I go digging in the vault, reading things about him, no doubt he was the GOAT, greatest of all time. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for tonight. With me is Deborah Lee. She does all the heavy lifting in the back, so I can sit up here and look pretty. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Hatter.
Try the new headset. Am I coming in okay? Any interference,
absolutely,
let me know. Okay, thank you. Yeah, John Bonham, and here I go. I thought I was going to be ready. Of course I'm not. I was just writing something down to try to put into words what Led Zeppelin was to me. They came out, I was just a young teenager when they first came out as a group. So I got to live the evolution, the growth, a lot of bands, especially Led Zeppelin. The way the band got together was a story in itself. Seasoned studio musicians, even as young as they were. Jimmy Page, the lead guitarist, John Paul Jones, the bassist, and he does all the other instruments, keyboards, any of the instruments they introduced in some of their music. That was John Paul Jones. They went and found Robert Plant last to be the front man, but John took it up with John Bonham. Had to be the smartest thing Jimmy Page ever did. We're going over some of the styles, some of the things that he actually did on stage. In fact, let me go to the studio. I think I have the story. We're going to start a little background on John Bonham. Press the button. We'll start, Deb. Deborah, can you push a button for me, please?
I'll get it. Just a sec.
Thank you. I'm standing here driving. Let me push the button. Yeah, before you do that, I was thinking of what it was that made Zeppelin Zeppelin. They were like no other band. They had their own sound. They were able to go full scope of from love ballad to hard rock and roll to driving force to even the catchy little ditty type of Cashmere and other songs. Some of the earliest Zeppelin I consider the best. Led 1 was my favorite album until Stairway to Heaven, Led 4. But there are some music on Led 1 that is just phenomenal. They give a lot of credit to the two producers. I can't remember the name. They're two brothers. And they have been given a lot of credit for producing these albums for Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page produced. He produced all the albums. Found that out the week we were talking about Jimmy Page. Okay, here we go.
Led Zeppelin stormed onto the music scene in 1968. Led Zeppelin stormed onto the music scene in 1968. Their raucous take on rock and roll redefined the genre and made them the biggest band on earth for the better part of a decade. Though every member of the band was musically gifted, there was one who laid down a rock-solid foundation for the group to grow on. Ask anyone in the band where their powerful sound came from, and they'd all give you the same answer. Drummer John Bonham. Let's take a look at what made Bonzo such a force behind a drum kit. Just heard is the intro to Good Times, Bad Times, the opening track to Led Zeppelin's debut album. For most of the world, this song was their introduction to John Bonham, and from the first listen, his style was evident. Listen to the bass drum throughout the song. Instead of playing the bass clean on every beat, Bonham accents the beat with triplets, which spices up the rhythm. A triplet is a grouping of three notes played within the length usually assigned to one. Let's give it a listen. See how he had flair to the drum beat by breaking up the rhythm with these triplets? This kind of groove isn't new, mind you. Bonham was heavily influenced by jazz musicians like Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich. It's just that not many drummers had applied this to a rock context until Bonham came along. Let's give a listen to Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. This track was released in 1964, 4 years before Zeppelin hit the scene. Hear how this drum beat is tight and on top of the beat, giving the song a kind of steady urgency. Now let's compare that to a John Bonham beat. Check out Heartbreaker. Notice how Bonham plays around with his bass drum, throwing in little accents and just changing the flow of the bar. It's this kind of laid-back rhythm that really helps the band gel with each other and get into a particular kind of groove. Bonham got the idea for these syncopated grooves by listening to a lot of funk music, especially James Brown. This kind of drumming is impressive enough on its own, but to truly appreciate John Bonham's greatness, we need to look at the way that he worked with his band. Ron Nevison was an engineer who worked on several Zeppelin albums. He said that part of what made the band work so well was the way that Bonzo played along with guitarist Jimmy Page. The essence to me of the whole Zeppelin thing was John Bonham following the guitar. He would take the riff and he would make that his drum part. Instead of just doing it 4-4 and getting with the bass player, he got in with the guitar player. Getting in with the guitar riff helps tighten up and energize Led Zeppelin's sound. Listen for it here in the Immigrant Song. And here it is again in the Wanton Song, this time a little more complicated. And we'll give you one more example with When the Levee Breaks. Listen to how Bonham stays tight with Page even when the song changes its phrasing. Did you hear it? This kind of chemistry between the band becomes especially important when they move towards more complex pieces of music. Let's look at Kashmir, for example, one of the band's most iconic songs. So the drum beat of this song is in 4/4 time, meaning that there are four beats to a bar, and a quarter note is worth one beat. 4/4 time is a pretty standard time signature used in a lot of music, especially rock. However, on top of Bonham's steady 4/4 time, the string and guitar are playing in a 3/4 feel, meaning that there's only three beats to each phrase. As a result, the drum and string phrases only sync up on the strong beat once every 12 beats. Let's give it a listen. By mixing the time signatures, Zeppelin add a kind of tension to the song, and it really meshes well with the intense feeling of the escalating strings. In order to do these kind of time signature tricks, the band needs to be rock solid with their rhythm, which comes from Bonham. This relationship is pushed to its limits in Black Dog. The song is an acrobatic exercise in time signatures and phrasing, but it keeps a steady rock feel throughout, thanks to Bonham. One of the most interesting parts of the song is the pre-chorus. In this section, the guitar and bass riffs actually move by half a beat with each repetition. The band is effectively playing in 9/8 time over Bonham's 4/4 drums, but you wouldn't know it without a close inspection. Listen to the way that the guitar hook moves around the drum beat, never matching up in the same part of the bar. Did you hear the way that the guitar and bass became out of sync with the drums? It can almost sound sloppy if you don't realize that every member of the band is working meticulously as a tight unit to create this. John Paul Jones called the kind of feeling that it creates a stomp groove, and this kind of groove can't exist without Bonham locking down the beat. With a less steady drummer, this breakdown could have easily fallen into chaos. So let's look at one more drum piece. Fool in the Rain is hands down my favorite Bonham beat, and it's absolutely incredible. There's a lot going on in this beat, so let's see if we can't break it down. So first of all, the beat is polyrhythmic, meaning that there are two different rhythms happening simultaneously. One of the rhythms comes from the hi-hat, where Bonham lays down steady triplets, opening and closing the hats for emphasis on certain notes. He complements this with ghost notes on the snare, notes that are barely audible and more meant to provide a feel to the song than anything else. Beneath this comes the second rhythm, where Bonzo plays a swung halftime shuffle on his bass and snare. As if the beat wasn't enough, the piano and guitar lines are playing in 12/8 time over the 4/4 beat. This gives a syncopated triplet feel to the song that's impossible not to get with. Let's give it a listen. John Bonham was a truly one-of-a-kind drummer, and his steady foundation helped Led Zeppelin do incredible things musically. Even in this video, I've only begun to scratch the surface of what made him such a great drummer. So next time you're spinning Zeppelin, listen a little closer to the drum kit.
Couldn't have said it better myself. John Henry Bonham was an English musician, songwriter, best known as a drummer for the English rock band Led Zeppelin. He was esteemed for his speed, power, and the fast bass drumming with his pedals, distinctive sound.
You have a request, Hatter.
Oh. What's that? You have a request?
I have a request.
Sure.
Stephen wants to know if you'll sing him a lullaby.
Oh, like what?
The dynamic duo are listening. And
put your head on my
sleep
shoulder.
Like,
if the whisper in my ear, maybe things I want to hear, maybe.
There you go. Short but sweet.
Yep. Now you got me all messed up. Okay. I'm nowhere near the studio, so I don't know if anybody's pulling up or not. I'll go over some history with John
Henry
Bonham.
I'm looking, but it seems like they're all just hanging out and listening.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Happy Easter, everybody. 2021, the year of our Lord. Easter Sunday. Hope everybody's safe, warm, and happy. 2021. This is all icing gravy to me. I didn't think I would be still kicking 2021. So this is all sci-fi stuff. This is gravy. This is icing extra. So I'll enjoy every painful minute of it. Happy Easter, Deb.
Happy Easter, Hatter.
I got to share a memory of my family, how I grew up. On my mother's side, Christmas was always about my dad's side of the family. But when Easter came around, it was my mom's. Now, my mom's sister, my aunt, lived in a town outside of Sacramento, heading up the foothills, in a town called Loomis. One of the original farmhouses, one of the original families to settle there. So the farm itself and the buildings are over 100 years old. They've had some refurbished because they were getting a little dangerous. But the land's still there. My cousin still lives on the land. We would go up on Easter Sunday with all the cousins on my mom's side, and we would, in the mowed pastures, we'd have the egg tosses or the egg hunts for the little ones. We had this time of year, we always had some baby cows that we would have to feed off the, or we went and milked the three milk cows. The little ones got, that were being weaned from their moms, would get fed by us, by the little guys. I remember doing those little kids, so fun. Those little cows are very aggressive, very hungry. But anyway, Easter Sunday was always something that I remember as my mom's side of the family. It was rarer for that side to get together, but a great bunch of people. I got no problems with any of my relatives on either side. I think maybe I'm the one that they thought it was crazy grandpa. They're probably crazy trouble. But anyway, that's my history. That's my Easter memory. And back to John Bonham. He was born May 31st, 1948, in Greenwich, England. He died September 25th, 1980, of an overdose, alcohol, drugs. That was just 2 months before John Lennon was assassinated. John Lennon died December 8th, 1980. John got married in 1966 before the Fame College, and he stayed married to the same lady until his death. He's got two children, Jason Bonham, who was a premier drummer himself, and Zoe Bonham. I don't know much of Zoe. John Bonham played two groups. He played for the Band of Joy from 1968. They formed Led Zeppelin until his death in 1980. John Bonham, he was 32 years old. He consumed around 40 shots, 1.4 liters, 40% vodka, and he aspirated his lungs to die. He accidental death, but that's a little much, John. So 32 years old, he had the life by the horns. What Led Zeppelin could have done, they didn't even try. They knew, the band knew where John went. There was no keeping the band going. In fact, I had heard today in an interview that many famous drummers offered to take John Bonham's place, keep Led Zeppelin going, and none of the other band members said nobody could replace John Bonham. So that's an impossibility. You can try. But he was the creator of that bottom. Now, I was trying to, before we got into the intro, the little docudrama, whatever we're listening to, I was trying to figure out why Led Zeppelin, to me, what was so appeasing to me, hearing it. And I think it was, and you don't even realize it, that with Jimmy Page on the top of the greatest fear guitarist, and some of the riffs he does, and a lot of the songs are just iconic. You got Robert Plant, nobody sings like Robert. And then John Paul Jones, the Mr. Music, Mr. Instrument, doing all the little things in between the fill, the bass, and then plus the bass lines are just fun to listen to. I wish I could play them. I can't. But in all that, you hear the drums. You hear the drumming, the triplets that fall behind the beat, and it accentuates the top. Like usually the bass line and the bass player and the drummer are the power driven, and the lead feeds off of that. It's sort of what the guy said before was John was able to mesh with Jimmy Page, the lead guitarist, and to have that one song. That hit every 12th note. Every 12th note was the only time that they got and they synced together. Because he's playing a 4-4 and the band's playing a 4-3. So every 12th, that's remarkable. And to get away with, because I don't know who else could get away with that. Yeah, it was the drums that held the door open. So you can appreciate all the other little intricacies of Led Zeppelin. And Led Zeppelin definitely is one you need headphones and a beanbag chair and sit and listen to it over and over again. There was only four members of the band. As it should. There was no, they were always together from 80 to, which one of them made, 68 to 80. 12 years. And when they had decided to dissolve the band, not trying to get back together, they did tour. They did do that. They toured for one. They decided to give the fans, because he was taken away so abruptly. Everybody wanted one more time to see Led Zeppelin play. So Jason Bonham, his son, I know, toured with the band. These guys were like uncles to Jason. And I think there was another drummer also that did. His name's failing me on that factoid. But so they decided to do that for the fans. Give it one more time. And they sold out everywhere they went, which they did anyway. I had two chances to see him. One, so it fell through. The other one was my choice. I couldn't spend the time or the money. And man, I'm sad that I didn't get to see Led Zeppelin live. We lost John Lennon and John Bonham same year. exactly realize that. 1980 was not a good year. Okay, back to some of Bonham's. I mean, he was grabbed by Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones to be in the band together. And by this time, John Bonham was, he knew what he was doing. He had his own sound. He knew what he wanted to lay down. He was very influenced by jazz, Buddy Rich. So you could tell by those little flavorful combos, 15-bit, that combined that top end with Jimmy Page, the guitar, and the bass lines. That's would free up. I'd probably complicate John Paul Jones's job a little more, having the drum break off playing with the lead, leave you guys by yourself. But with rock stars, musicians at that caliber, that level, only other people at that level can really probably exist. I always thought John Paul Jones was the mastermind. But, you know, how can you say that with Jimmy Page and then John Bonham? You just can't. Some say Jimmy Page is right at the top guitarist of all time, and that'd be hard to argue with about. But you ask anybody to this day, who's the best drummer, who's the GOAT, greatest of all time? Who's the GOAT drummer? You won't get much argument. And that's being 32 years old. That's quite a tribute. Let's see what else. Regarded as the greatest drummer, most influential drummers of all time. Yeah, I just read that again. And the pictures of him. Led Zeppelin was not a drug dirty band. You had professionals from day one. Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones, they were studio artists, musicians already. They were serious musicians. John Bonham, of course, was, and I don't think Robert Plant had any problem except the regular marijuana things that come with it. I don't see them as a heroin using type of album or cocaine, but who knows? We hadn't really had the money. I'm just looking at this associated acts. There's usually a number of bands that other members play with or influence, sat in studio with. John Bonham, two, Band of Joy, Led Zeppelin. That's it. Let's see. At the age of 10, he was given a snare drum. He didn't get a full set until he was 15. Played with local bands, both at school and after-school sessions, in two different bands with Robert Plant. So John Bonham knew Robert Plant. So I think Bonham was the one that sort of directed Jimmy Page to Robert Plant. So I'm getting a bit confused here. Following the demise of the Yardbirds, he was one that Page picked up as the new Yardbirds. They toured as that name, a small tour through Sweden, Northern Europe, I believe it was. And they changed the name to Led Zeppelin to a comment that I think Keith Moon, the drummer from the Who, had said that this will go over like a lead balloon when he told what band members were getting together. This will go over like a lead balloon. So Led Zeppelin was born. Some of the intricacies of the songs, it's like Moby Dick is the one song that the drum solo goes on quite a long time. And when drummers go into a solo, some can overcomplicate and sort of hide how good they are, and only another musician or another drummer will pick certain things up. Keith Moon and John Bonham, probably the two best drummers I can think of, maybe the I could name a couple other drummers, but I can't think of any that was, that are. Where Keith Moon died early too. The drummer of the Who, he was a loud, obnoxious, very good drummer. Yeah, Cream, the drummer, Ginger Baker. He's the only other one I can think of that might be in the same kind of caliber. Charlie Bonham was also close. He played with Vanilla Fudge in the earlier years. Max Roach, Gene Krupa, and Buddy Rich was inspired by, which was jazz. His parents played jazz music all the time. So he was influenced from that from day one. You can surely see that he's got a different approach to the bottom line from rock and roll than other drummers. It's like when the guy who was narrating that little bit I played, that most drummers are clean with the bass player. And whenever you hear another Zeppelin song, we'll be playing some here again, and it'll highlight some of the things. I think I did bring the track where they minimize all the other tracks except the drummer, so you can hear just what he's doing in any one of the songs. It's quite informative. Okay, I'm reading. And for those drummers out there that know your equipment, bottom initially used Premier drums in the 60s, introduced to the Ludwig drums by Carmine Appice, is another great drummer. Not to mention his career, Bonham endorsed Ludwig's. At times, Bonham kick drum pedal squeaked. Jimmy Page later found it. He squeaked, yeah, man, you're squeaking. I know. It was an awful squeaky bass drum pedal on the set, I've Been Loving You. It sounds louder and louder every time I hear it. It's something that is obviously sadly overlooked at the time. But you can hear, Dream Page can still hear it in a recording of Since I've Been Loving You. But I think that's off of Lead One for the first album. That's cool. You got his Stainless Steel Drums, 2007. The cowbell. We need more cowbell. Eerie didn't have any problem hitting the cowbell. But anyway, go back to, go down the hall. I want to play a song. Deborah, are you in the studio?
Absolutely, positively.
I either have Battle of Evermore or When the Levee Breaks. Can we play one of those?
Okay.
Led Zeppelin stormed onto the music scene in 1968. Their raucous take on rock and roll redefined the genre and made them the biggest band on earth for the better part of a decade. Though every member of the band was musically gifted, there was one who laid down a rock-solid foundation for the group to grow on. Ask anyone in the band where their powerful sound came from, and they'd all give you the same answer. Drummer John Bonham. Let's take a look at what made Bonzo such a force behind a drum kit.
Yeah, that's the same one. I want to play that other.
They
bounced me out of the studio. I got bounced out of the studio twice. I don't know if I'm trying to hit that button.
What did you want to put on?
That one should have been, I want to put the one that says Bonham Story.
Okay.
They've sold over 200 million records.
That's good.
You're pretty
that's
good,
it.
You said, but you'd be a lot better if you had a drummer like me. They traveled thousands of miles to play to our...
Is that the right one?
That's the same one. Well, no, hit the other one.
Led Zeppelin stormed onto the music scene in 1968. Their raucous take on rock and roll redefined the genre and made them the biggest band on earth for the better part of a decade. Though every member of the band was musically gifted, there was one who laid down a rock-solid foundation for the group to grow on. Ask anyone in the band where their powerful sound came from, and they'd all give you the same answer.
Stop this. Can we just
drummer,
stop this?
John Bonham.
They've sold over 200.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same word. Okay, my bad. My bad. The rest will be under my name, right? Deb?
Yep.
Friends. Yeah, there was something about Led Zeppelin. I don't think a lot of people understood what they were listening to. I can't emphasize that more. I can't think of another drummer that went through such methodical forethought, or prethought into developing a song. It must have been a kick to play with. That got me closer. Okay, Deb, I'm going to have to pick your brain since my scroll's not working. Can you tell me what song Led Zeppelin's under mine?
What song do you have? You have...
Yeah.
I have to scroll because some say Zeppelin first. For example, you have A Whole Lot of Love.
I have Heartbreaker.
No Heartbreaker.
I think I mistakenly took that off. Yeah, when I was playing football, I got, it was the rule of the quarterback coach to, I had to hang with the quarterback. I was a wide receiver. So we had to hang together. We had to go to school together. We had to go to the training, always together. Mine, I had the pleasure of, his name was Jim Harrell. That was my quarterback when I was a junior. He was a senior. He was a Led Zeppelin fanatic. Everything was Led Zeppelin. He had some of the coolest hot rods. Yeah, I got to be his little sidekick for a couple of years. Just totally cool when you're growing up and you can hang with a guy like Jim Harrell. I don't know why my day is stuck. Is that it? Debbie still there?
Yeah, what's Gallows?
That's a good one. The Gallows Pole. Yeah, that's a good one to play. Let's play that while I get my crap together on my screen here.
Okay.
Thank you. first call. Found it. Rambling on. Looking for the bass and drums. This is one that they only get together on the 12th note, I think.
I love this one.
Days for which day.
That's just a song of sound, got its own sound, just very nostalgic.
I keep forgetting there's a song from one of the Godzilla movies, and they have, what do they call it? They have sampling of this all through it. Of course, it's the chorus. And I really love that one, too, and I'd be willing to bet you've never heard it. One of these times I'll get it in there so you can hear it.
Yeah, that was, if you asked Robert Plant what his favorite song was, he'd say Kashmir. I've heard it.
Just say that myself. I love that song.
Yeah,
it's one of them ones where you just kind of sway and move and
yeah.
Curate your hips a little, and it's just great.
And, you know, and to put it together, I can't emphasize enough how tight and how good the musicians have to be to have the drums go off and play with the lead. He's backbeat and he's filling in with these triplets and crashes, and it's just phenomenal what he was able to do. Left us just 40 years this year.
Wow.
I know. I'm looking up some of this truth and facts about Led Zeppelin. A lot of it's about their album covers so far. We did hit on that Jimmy Page had bought the castle that the occult guy. Anyway, some of the little things that because he bought that castle, I think he was fascinated with some of the magic, mysticism, as a lot of us are. I did, and I don't think I would call myself a devil worshiper by any means. But that's the sort of Jimmy Page got that. It's on the Loch Ness castle that supposedly some rituals are supposed to have taken place. And Jimmy Page says it was haunted, so I don't think he ever went back there. Stuff like that. That's what I'm trying to see if there's any myth that we can dispel. Okay, Led Zeppelin once defiled a groupie with a mud shark. The backstory. The most notorious of all Led Zeppelin legends began when the band played the Seattle Pop Festival July 27, 1969. They retired to the Edgewater Inn. Buildings at the top, Seattle's Puget Sound. Guests could actually fish directly from their windows. But in the 1985 Led Zeppelin biography, Hammer of the Gods, which got much of its information from Zeppelin road manager Richard Cole, describes a graphic scene in one of the rooms. A pretty looking groupie with red hair was disrobed and tied to the bed, wrote author Stephen Davis. Led Zeppelin then proceeded to stuff, blah, 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 yeah. That kind of thing. You can't go on with it. The truth. This one's fishy. A different version of the mud shark incident has coal and fish wielding culprits. The band Vanilla Fudge has also claimed responsibility for the incident. It was not Led Zeppelin. The drummer Carmine Appice says the girl in question was a groupie who tagged along with him. And the Stitches pulled it to it wasn't Led Zeppelin. It wasn't it got blown up.
It was a Band-Aid.
She was. The only thing I know of is when Jimmy Page hooked up with a 14-year-old, and I'm looking at a picture of her. She don't look 14. I don't know if she had lied to him, but that could have been disastrous. Yeah, Lori Maddox. Los Angeles groupie. She was 14 years old. Now, Jimmy. Yeah, two different sides. He said, she said, and then the band members or the girl was a groupie. Probably got a heart. Here's the devil. Worship the devil. The guy's name was Alistair Crowley. The Jimmy Page bought the castle or the band to go and play there, I guess. Didn't happen. And the truth comes out. John Bonham drank 40 shots of vodka the night he died. I think that's totally true. The truth, according to the coroner's report, the drummer had an equivalent to 40 vodka shots in the system. Bonham had been drinking quadruple vodkas earlier in the day. He was also inebriated. He failed to wake up. His body started injecting the alcohol. Keith Moon, who gave Led Zeppelin their name. The backstory. Recorded the instrumental with Jeff Beck, Bex Valero, and with Page, John Paul Jones, and Jeff Beck. That was before the band assembled. Moon allegedly said band would go over like a lead balloon. Page remembered the joke 2 years later. When he created Led Zeppelin. The truth. Accounts differ. For decades, Entwistle from The Who claimed that it was he, not Moon, who made the comment, Led Balloon. But history seems to favor Moon's version. We lost Keith also. I wish I could play videos, because there's some of the things you find means a lot more when you're watching, not necessarily the band play, but the people that are interviewed. Everybody that they interviewed from back in the day, the bands, who's the best drummer? There was no question, no hesitation. It was John Bonham. And I'm trying to get back to the studio. You know, Deborah, I saw in there, under my name, it says Bonham. We pushed that to
the... Yeah, that was the one I played at the beginning. I think you gave me the same thing like three times. But the one that says... The one that just says Bonham, we played.
Okay. Are you in the studio now?
I'm not,
under,
but I can be
under my, under my name. If my scroll is working, I love technology. Yeah, you can scroll down. No, I can't. Well, for those of them stumbled across this, you listen to ATOV, A Team of Voices Radio, Wonderland Production, a part of All Poetry, a group of writers that get together to share our poetry. You're welcome to call in normal nights. Number is 646-668-2837. That's 646-668-2837 for A Team of Voices. It is free to join. You can come to our group. Find us in the groups of allpoetry.com. Just look for A Team of Voices. Knock on the door. Deborah will answer. Let you in. It's free to join. Concert. Okay. I got Bonham straight. Bonham drummer. Okay. I got to get that. See, I won't scroll. So I know I have Ramble On. We played Ramble On? Or we played Battle of Evermore. Battle of Evermore. The Alzheimer's got me.
Yeah, I don't think I found Ramble On, that we did play Evermore. And I know that A Whole Lot of Love is in there.
A Whole Lot of Love I'd like to play, but it's got like 7 minutes of just sounds, bows going on against electric guitars, and then
okay, well, what I was thinking is... you packed the show with tons of information and a couple great songs. So I think that it would be cool if we played out with a whole lot of love, because like we have me with you co-hosting tomorrow, and then you with me co-hosting Tuesday,
right.
And so it's like three nights in a row. We don't have to drag it out till the last minute. So why don't you put on a whole lot of love and let it play us out of here?
Okay, I'm going to try something. I am going to play. I'm stuck on the front first page of this of the songs in the studio. The Bonham Story, John Bonham, drummer. They're the same. They're the same things we're thinking. All right.
Yes, I pushed them all. And when you told me that the ones that were up at the top were the same, I deleted them. So even if they look like they're in your studio, they're not there anymore.
Okay.
We pushed them and they weren't what you wanted, so I took it out so that we didn't keep pushing them a second, third, and 19th time.
Right.
So I believe it's gone with the wind.
Yeah. You know, I've always said, too, that even the any rock band has got to be able to slow it down and sing a love ballad. I believe that. I think they should prove to them so they can harmonize in some form, keep time. The changes in a soft song are a little different than they are when you're headbanging.
On that note, I have to say that on the classic rock station that I listen to, they were doing this teaser about us having this ballad that you would never imagine this particular band did. All their songs are much more up rowdy, and he was driving me crazy trying to figure out who it might be, so I had to wait, because like I usually just blast the radio when I'm in the shower, so I had to wait
10 years after.
To see who he was talking about.
10 years
he
after.
Was talking about AC/DC, and let me tell you, there's absolutely one of the best reasons ever that they don't do ballads, because if they had to make money off of that song that he played, I don't even remember what it was called, and please forgive me, because I do absolutely love AC/DC, but
yeah.
That song proves that some bands can't.
Exception to the rule, absolutely. Their songs, there's the groups like 10 Years After. 10 Years After was a hard-driving group from the Bay Area out here in California, and they played I Want to Change the World, and it's a soft, slow sort of mystic
Tears for Fears?
Sound. No, it's not Tears for Fears. It's that everybody wants to change the world. Everybody wants to rule the world. This is everybody. This is I want to change the world. It's 10 years after. Another one. The English kid from Humble Pie. What can I think of? The guy. He did. Do You Feel Like I Do? What can I think of?
Peter
Frampton. Peter Frampton, thank you so much. Peter Frampton played with Humble Pie. Humble Pie was a hard rocking group, and when he went out on his own, Frampton's Camel, one of the greatest albums I think ever made. Some of the ballad, the soft lines on my face. There's some guitar solo in there that's just melts you.
One of
Child
my all-time favorite albums, Peter Frampton Comes Alive.
Yeah, I think that still hits a double album sales, the most ever live album.
I love it.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to see the third day on the green out here at Oakland Coliseum. It was the invasion of the English invasion. And Fleetwood Mac, David Mason, Gary Wright, Robin Trower, Peter Frampton. And I think I'm missing somebody. But it was all day long, and it was absolutely great album. Some of those tracks were supposed to have been put on the live album, but I went looking one time to see if I could find which ones that you can't. Because we're down in the front row. Great concert. Well, I rebooted everything and I am stuck. No scrolling for me today. Oh, wait. As I say that, it starts working. I know there's another Zeppelin song in there. It's not marked Zeppelin. It's just marked by the name.
You mean besides Whole Lotta Love?
Yeah, it's under Hatter. It's I have Kashmir, Ravelon, Ravelon. I think we put a Ravelon. Battle of Evermore. Okay. Yeah, John Bonham left us too soon. They were at the height of their popularity. They had just settled. They had toured enough. They were going to settle back into the studio. These are the guys that wrote the lyrics to Stairway to Heaven on the taxi ride to the studio. Okay. So I think the fire, the drive, was sucked out of them when they lost John Bonzo, they called him. Yeah, not much more was out with him. Okay. Uh-oh. Right, look at this button. I know, I'm using it here.
Well, the problem is lack of consistency, dude. You got some, like, under Zeppelin. Some are just one word that you have to guess whether, I mean, whoa. Evermore.
Well, I didn't want to put them on, I didn't want to put some of those songs under a band member because I knew I was going to have a tribute for each member. But yeah, you're right.
If you would have put the whole kit and caboodle starting with Zeppelin and then the name of the song, you don't need any other mark, and you know who you wanted. You're more knowledgeable than most of us on that kind of stuff, so you would have been able to just go to the Zeppelin and pick the ones you needed. Instead, you got to thumb through by title and stuff like that. So, Shine On Crazy Diamond, who's that? I can't.
Oh, you know what? I wanted to make my apologies for that song. I said during the show that was not on the Dark Side of the Moon album. I'm sorry. I was totally wrong. Of course it is. It is on Dark Side of the Moon. Thank you for bringing that up.
I'm just reading some of your titles here. Stairway to Heaven. Ticket to Ride. Underdog. Underdog, okay. Venus, Booty Shot. Walk Away, Renee. Okay, Whole Lotta Love. And then we go into maybe some are put in accidentally under Zeppelin. Nope. Okay, let me see.
I thought I had Rock and Roll, which they've used for Chevy or Ford truck commercials. Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll. I wouldn't be hurt to stay with the other again.
No, I wouldn't either. Let me just Battle of Evermore.
So I'm thinking the next music night.
Yep.
But we were talking yesterday, the day before. I had mentioned Motown. I love Motown.
Yeah.
You want to do a Motown?
Absolutely. Sounds like a plan. Motown
right,
is excellent housework music. It's excellent housework music.
I think we did the one hit wonder. Guys on Motown, that was a good show because there are a ton of them.
That's for sure.
Barry Gordy was a genius. Well, they had Abbey Road and the different recording studios in England. Berry Gordy had one in Detroit, Motown. Borrowed $700 from the family and made it into a multi-million dollar international corporation.
That's
Keith Moon from the drummer.
Okay.
But so play that too and see what hits.
Okay, let's see.
John Bonham was worth $10 million when he died. Sounds like Jeff Beck.
To turn it down, it like disappeared. Okay. But I did find Rock and Roll in your in your weird ass filing system here. It's got your Rock and Roll song and then Sweaty Balls. Like like they even go together. Crazy guy.
Sweaty Balls. That's a Christmas special.
Right. So is that what?
Yeah, it's the Rock and Roll.
Is that what you want to hear?
Yeah, please.
Okay, let's try that one.
Yeah.
girl. So, Deborah, did you want to say anything about shows coming up? Besides that, we just skimmed over.
Okay, well, tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern is Personal Prompt Monday, and we are talking puppets. It was a super challenge to kick off April, and there are four parts to this. You choose an amazing puppet photo. Then, in part two, there are quotes such as, "We are all puppets in the hands of fate and seldom see the strings," by Charles Chestnut. Then you scroll down to section three, and there are word banks, and you choose two of the cards and use the words on them. And the final part is, of course, your crayon colors, and you choose two of those cards and use those in your poem. And once you've collected prompts from all four categories, you put them together in one poem for me and read it on the show. So you already chose your photo of the chick with the shoelaces.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the puppet with the purple hair and the shoelaces?
Yep. Yep.
So you have
that. You
know,
I got a thing about puppets. I got a thing about puppets and dolls. I had an experience when I was a kid.
Well, we'll play on that. bring us some House of Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
But,
what I learned is don't go stupid around in rooms. You're not supposed to be stupid around in. You might find that a full-size doll that winks at you, but there's nobody there.
Well, that's kind of spooky. But, like, let me see here. You could go with Dave Matthews from the Dave Matthews Band says the world and the universe are far more wonderful if there's not a puppet master. Or... There's a whole bunch of different lyrics from the song "I'm Your Puppet," which is the intro song, because I remember that my parents and my aunts used to play that. And here's one. "I am like a broken puppet whose eyes have fallen inside," by Emilio Fiorent. So, like, there's a whole bunch of cool ones to pick from her. So something's got to inspire you.
I'm slowly getting it back.
Yep, see that? And, like, Tuesday night is the showcase show for Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank, with his maniacal laughter, I'm sure, to appear several times during the show. I know that there's quite a few on there that people, like myself, put on there for him to read. So I hope he rests his voice so that he can do a lot of reading for us tomorrow. And I don't know what's happening Wednesday. I'm trying to take a peek while I am show schedule. Wednesday. Wednesday just might be a night off. And then Sweet, I did notice that Sweet has posted her prompt for Thursday already, and I'm trying to find that so I can tell everybody what it said, because Sweet Discussions 4-6. Okay, she put some really cool quotes on her topic board, and she, for example, be the flawed, quirky, unique, beautiful and magical person that you are. That's one of many really awesome quotes that she put on her board. So you just pick a quote, and here's one for you, Hatter. Music. It has the power to make us smile, bring us to all types of tears. It can carry us back in time and inspire us to dance in the moment. For all our happy days, there is music. So there's all kinds of great quotes that Sweet has on her board for Thursday. So the topic boards are filled with great topics, everyone. They all start with a date, so you just look for the date that you're wanting to participate in and click on it and tell you what's going on. And then we work our way towards Lightning, which I'm really looking forward to. Yeah, Lightning. I put like a half a dozen gorgeous pictures on your topic board in case people want to use them as inspiration. Feel free to take them, anyone.
I wrote a verse once. I don't know what inspired me, but it was for a deaf person, what is lightning? Because they don't hear the thunder. They might feel it.
Yeah. That's true. They would feel it like rumble some. But the show tomorrow night is at 10 p.m. Eastern. And on a side note, normally on Monday nights after my show, I head over to the Poetic Slice of Life chat room for the Mortuary of Shadows. However, tomorrow night, they have a special start time of 7:30 p.m. Eastern because one half of our dynamic duo got a promotion and he's got to get up earlier than normal. So he's going to start the show earlier and then hit and run for us before he goes to bed. So 7:30 tomorrow, open darkness at the Mortuary of Shadows. I'm looking forward to that show because mine's a different kind of darkness, but I'm looking forward to sharing the poem I wrote. So I will see you guys there, and then hopefully also see you guys at Personal Prompt Monday. So on that note, I had a fun time hanging out with you, and tell me what's going to play us out of here with.
I want to hear Stairway to Heaven one more time.
Okie dokie. Then that's what we're going to do.
Just in case
he's still listening, don't you want to give Stephen one more chorus of that lullaby?
On the same song?
Whatever song you want.
See if I can do it. Put your head on my shoulder, whisper in my ear, baby, things I want to hear, baby. That's it. Go to bed.
Okay. Sweet dreams, Stephen. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Oh, wait a minute. Kay. One for Kay.
Okay.
Here.
Are you going on this chick all the time? I was Kay. I'd be happy to.
It's the wind in her hair.
I know. And I'm sure if she's listening, she's laughing. Now, here is a beautiful 10-minute version of Stairway to Heaven for your listening pleasure by Led Zeppelin. Great show, Hatter, packed with info, love and respect.
There's a
to heaven.
Got it all. I think I hurt myself air drumming. I hurt myself air drumming right there. Thanks, Dad Bob.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Deborah. You make it fun. Thanks for spending the night with me.
Yeah. It was fun, Heather. My respect.
Talk to you later.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.